Hi, I'm Jackie Roble with the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. During the next 30 minutes, I will be sharing nutrition information from the Nutrition Action Health Letter. Nutrition Action Health Letter is the flagship publication of the Center for Science and the Public Interest. Published 10 times a year, Nutrition Action provides honest, unbiased science-based advice on nutrition and health. It's the world's largest circulation nutrition newsletter, bringing the latest nutrition news and advice to more than 500,000 readers. Nutrition Action is totally free of advertising, so we're free to blow the whistle on products that aren't what they pretend to be and to applaud the good ones. Please use the information presented in this broadcast in consultation with your personal physician. The following articles are from the March edition of the Nutrition Action Health Letter. 10 Things You Should Know About Cannabis. The Grass Isn't Always Greener by Caitlin Dow. Marijuana has gone mainstream. The plant, its sister hemp, and their constituents now show up in oils, creams, candies, and more. Putting aside the many controversies over marijuana, here's what it does for, or to, your health. 10 years ago, when you referred to cannabis, you were talking about dried plant material that people smoked, says Ryan Vandry, associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine. Now, cannabis, which refers to marijuana and hemp, is a blanket term that could also mean hemp oil, topical creams, CBD products, high THC concentrates that are smoked, vaporized, or orally ingested, and more. And confusion abounds. People either demonize cannabis or make it sound like the most amazing thing, says Vandry. The truth likely falls somewhere in the middle. Maybe cannabis will be useful to some people, but it will be disappointing to most, says Danielle Piomelli, professor of anatomy and neurobiology at the University of California, Irvine. Cannabis will not be a panacea, nor will it be as dangerous as some people think. Here are 10 things you should know about cannabis. Number one, don't confuse THC with CBD. Cannabis plants contain a class of compounds called cannabinoids. We've identified just over 100 of them, says Piomelli. The two most abundant? Tetrahydrocannabinol, or THC, and cannabidiol, CBD. THC drives the hallmark features of feeling high, like getting the munchies and feeling relaxed, as well as the negative side effects like feeling paranoid or anxious, explains Vandry. In recent years, marijuana's potency has soared. In 1980, marijuana averaged about 1% THC. In a recent report, marijuana sold at dispensaries averaged 21% THC, according to labels. CBD can produce drug effects, but it's not the typical marijuana high, notes Vandry. It's not intoxicating, and it doesn't come with THC-like side effects. Hemp oil doesn't have much CBD unless it's added, because CBD is found only in hemp's leaves and flowers, not its seeds. So if you want CBD, look for CBD, not cannabinoids, on the label. 2. Cannabis has few established medical benefits. In 2017, a National Academy of Medicine panel drew roughly 100 conclusions on the health effects of cannabis. Only 3 benefits stood out. We found conclusive evidence that cannabis can reduce nausea and vomiting induced by chemotherapy, says Piomelli, who served on the panel. There is substantial evidence that cannabis modestly reduces self-reported involuntary muscle contractions in people with multiple sclerosis. And there is substantial evidence that cannabis modestly reduces chronic pain. It's not as strong as a narcotic pain reliever like an opiate, Piomelli notes, so it's not as effective, but it may be more usable long-term. As for most other health problems, a few good studies have been done, but the list of cannabis's benefits may never be long. In what other case do we have a single medicine that we use to treat 30 different health conditions, says Vandry. In fact, the Food and Drug Administration has approved just 3 synthetic THC drugs, Marinol and Syndros, Dronabinol, and Casimet, Nabinolone, to treat nausea and vomiting from chemotherapy. That's how cannabis should be tested and sold as medicine. But some states are far more enthusiastic. In many, the list of conditions for which medical cannabis is authorized is very long, says Piomelli. Out of those, we really have evidence for maybe 1 or 2. Number 3, the evidence for CBD is scant. You can buy CBD as an oil, but it's also sold in everything from water and candy to Willie Nelson's CBD-infused coffee. CBD is promoted as this amazing natural healing product, says Vandry, but many claims about CBD haven't been substantiated in humans. Not that CBD is worthless. Last year, the FDA approved a high-dose CBD drug to treat seizures in two rare severe forms of epilepsy. But beyond that, the evidence is preliminary. Only a few studies have looked at whether CBD relieves anxiety, the most common claim. In one trial, 57 Brazilian men were randomly assigned to take a placebo, or 150, 300, or 600 milligrams of CBD, 90 minutes before giving a speech. Oddly, only those who took 300 milligrams reported lower anxiety during, but not before or after, the speech than placebo takers. Most of the study's authors had ties to the CBD industry. No long-term trials have tested CBD for occasional anxiety or to treat people with a diagnosed anxiety disorder, and most studies have used doses of 100 milligrams or more. Few CBD products have more than 20 milligrams per dose. People are throwing CBD at every condition under the sun at random doses and expecting it to work, says Vandry. There are a lot of possibilities for CBD, notes Piamelli, but they require controlled clinical trials. The smoking gun isn't there yet. Number four, CBD can interfere with medicines. In animal and test tube studies, CBD blocks some forms of an enzyme, cytochrome P450, that metabolizes many medicines, including some statins, calcium channel blockers, and antidepressants. We know that CBD can affect the metabolism of drugs, though the extent to which that happens is still not well understood, says Vandry. If you're considering taking CBD, ask your doctor or pharmacist if it could interfere with your medications. 5. Smoking marijuana can harm your lungs. Smoking is probably the worst possible way of getting marijuana into your body, notes Piamelli. That's because smoking marijuana produces many of the same harmful chemicals and carcinogens as smoking tobacco. Yet marijuana smokers don't have a higher risk of lung cancer than non-smokers. That was one of the biggest surprises of the National Academy of Medicine report, says Piamelli. The dose may explain why. Tobacco smokers might smoke 20 or 40 cigarettes a day, notes Piamelli. I've never heard of someone smoking 40 joints a day. But smoking marijuana does increase the risk of chronic bronchitis and worsens respiratory systems like coughing and wheezing, said the Academy. Some small studies suggest that vaping, when marijuana is heated, not burned, and its vapors inhaled, may cause fewer respiratory symptoms, but no long-term studies have looked. 6. Cannabis ups your risk of a car crash. We know from good controlled research studies that cannabis impairs driving, says Vandry. But if a driver is in a crash and tests positive for THC, we have no good way to know whether that person was intoxicated or under the influence at the time of the accident. That's because THC can be detected in blood long after the user is no longer impaired. What's more, blood levels of THC increase rapidly after you've inhaled marijuana, but they stay low, below the limit that many state tests can detect, after you've had an edible, a food or drink that contains THC. Unlike alcohol, blood levels of THC do not reflect intoxication, says Piamelli. 7. Cannabis has other risks. Cannabis has the same types of effects on the reward pathway in the brain as alcohol, cocaine, opioids, and nicotine, says Vandry. But the risk of cannabis abuse is fairly low. Most people who use cannabis won't have issues with it, Vandry notes. The current estimates is that about 10% of people who try it will end up having problems. That's concerning, but it's less than the roughly 20% of drinkers or 65% of nicotine users who become dependent. The Academy also found substantial evidence that cannabis use may increase the risk of psychotic disorders like schizophrenia, with the highest risk among the most frequent users. Young adolescents also have a higher risk, says Vandry, but a cause and effect relationship hasn't been established for any group. Still, he adds, people with a family history of psychosis should avoid cannabis, especially products with high THC content. 8. Don't trust labels. You can't rely on labels, says Piamelli. In states that test cannabis products, the results are troubling. For example, in 2018, the California Bureau of Cannabis Control tested nearly 26,000 products, plant material, vape pen cartridges, waxes, oils, tinctures, topical creams, edibles, sold at dispensaries. almost 15% failed tests for potency or purity, typically because they were mislabeled or had detectable levels of pesticides, microbes, or solvents. CBD-only products sold online or in stores fare no better. For example, only about 30% of 84 CBD products that Vandry bought online were accurately labeled. Some contained little or no CBD, he says, and roughly 1 in 5 had detectable levels of THC. It's quite possible that the therapeutic benefits people are reporting from CBD are driven by THC, or maybe something else entirely. 9. A dose of THC varies. It's up to each state to decide on an appropriate dose. In Washington and Colorado, for example, a dose of THC is 10 milligrams. In Oregon, it's 5 milligrams. There's a fairly narrow dose window between somebody being okay and someone having uncomfortable adverse effects with THC, Vandry explains. He randomly assigned 17 infrequent marijuana users to smoke or vape marijuana with either 0, 10, or 25 milligrams of THC. Two people vomited and one hallucinated after taking 25 milligrams, but not 10 milligrams. And when people inhaled 25 milligrams, but not 10 milligrams of THC, they reported feeling more uncomfortable, sick, or anxious when they inhaled the marijuana with no THC. What's more, people were more intoxicated after vaping than after smoking the marijuana. The take-home message: if you try THC, start low. That means around 2 to 3 milligrams. Work your way up slowly until you get the effect you want, says Piamelli, and treat it with respect. This is not a toy. This is a drug. I'm concerned that people think, oh, it's natural. It can't harm me. And 10. Edibles, the Wild West. THC edibles are problematic, says Piamelli. It's easy to eat a cookie without knowing what's in it. And many edibles have much more than 5 to 10 milligrams of THC. For example, Dixie Elixir's line of 8.5-ounce juices has 100 milligrams of THC per bottle, but the labels list a serving as 6 milligrams of THC. Only people who use the dosing cap will get the 3-teaspoon serving of juice that contains 6 milligrams of THC. And keep your edibles away from children. The Poison Control Center warns that some kids have gotten into their parents' supplies. Another potential problem? When you inhale cannabis, you feel the effects almost immediately, says Vandry, but it can take 30 to 90 minutes to feel the effects of an edible. If you don't know that, you may think the dose is too low. So then you eat more and you're stoned for hours and hours, says Piamelli. What's more, the kind of food may affect how quickly the THC is absorbed. Let's say you have a lollipop, a gummy bear, and a brownie, each with 10 milligrams of THC, says Vandry. When you suck on the lollipop, you absorb some of the THC through the oral mucosa that lines your mouth. That absorption might be much faster than if you eat the gummy bear or the brownie. And if you eat the brownie, the absorption may be much slower if it has a lot of fat. That begs the question, why does it have to be in a lollipop, gummy bear, or brownie when it should be in a capsule? The answer is much more about marketing than medicine. The Healthy Cook, Two Ways About It by Kate Sherwood. Want to eat like a flexitarian? These plant-forward recipes are flexible in more ways than one. Try Mexican tonight, Thai tomorrow. And the sauce, it keeps for 3 days in the refrigerator, is also great on fish, chicken, or shrimp. Thai Flex serves 2. 10 ounces extra firm tofu, cubed. 1 teaspoon grapeseed or peanut oil. 3 cups shredded cabbage, 1 cup cooked brown rice, 1 cup shelled edamame, 1/2 cup cilantro lime sauce, 1/2 cup diced mango, 1/4 cup roasted peanuts. In a large nonstick pan, sauté the tofu in the oil over medium heat, medium-high heat, until browned, 3 to 5 minutes. Divide the cabbage into 2 bowls. Toss the tofu, rice, and edamame with the cilantro lime sauce. Spoon over the cabbage. Sprinkle with the mango and peanuts. Cilantro lime sauce makes 1 cup. 1 bunch cilantro chopped, 2 serrano or jalapeno peppers, or a quarter of a green bell pepper, 1/4 cup extra virgin olive oil, juice of 1 lime, more to taste, 1 teaspoon kosher salt. Combine all the ingredients in a small food processor. Blend until the sauce forms, about 1 minute. MexFlex serves two. 4 cups chopped romaine, 1 cup cooked quinoa, 1 15-ounce can no salt added black beans, drained and rinsed, 1/2 a cup cilantro lime sauce, 1/4 white onion, thinly sliced, 1/2 a cup half cherry tomatoes, 1/2 avocado sliced, a few tortilla chips. Divide the romaine into two bowls. Toss the quinoa and the beans with the cilantro lime sauce. Spoon over the romaine. Top with the onion, tomatoes, avocado, and chips. What's Brewing? The Best Coffee Drinks and Creamers by Lindsay Moyer and Jennifer Urban. Iced or cold brew? Concentrated or regular? Nitro or not? The coffee aisle is buzzing. So is the coffee creamer case. Cold brew basics. Cold brew coffee, don't confuse it with iced coffee, is all the rage. A quick primer. Cold brewing. Cold brewing makes for a smooth-tasting coffee with less acidity than hot brewed coffee, promises Califia. Ground coffee is soaked in cold water for 12 to 24 hours, then strained. Most brands sell it black and unsweetened. It's usually served iced, but it can be heated. Caffeine. Caffeine varies from roughly 80 to 180 milligrams per cup, depending on the brand. Brew your own. You can make your own cold brew by adding coarsely ground coffee to cold brew filters or bags that are sold online. Or try Starbucks, Dunkin' Donuts, or Grady's bags, which come filled with coffee. Want decaf? You'll need to do it yourself. We don't find any bottled decaf cold brews. Nitro. Nitro is cold brew coffee infused with nitrogen bubbles, which add creaminess and a slight fizz. Tilt or shake the can, then pour. It's on tap at some Starbucks. Buzz 2. Concentrates may look just like cold brews, but they pack a heftier punch. That's fine as long as you can tell them apart. The only difference, other than the size of the bottles, between Chameleon's concentrated and regular cold brew, the tiny concentrated or ready to enjoy on the labels. Dilute the concentrate with equal parts water or milk, the label recommends. Califia 2.5 times concentrated cold brew needs 1.5 parts water or milk for every 1 part coffee. Trader Joe's concentrates need 2 parts water or milk. Read before you pour. Fattened up coffee. Drop excess weight, promises Picnic's website. Bring on the butter. Huh? A 10-ounce bottle of Picnic butter coffee has 9 to 13 grams of saturated fat, half to two-thirds of a day's worth, from butter and medium-chain triglycerides, which aren't the weight loss magic bullet they cracked up to be. Bulletproof is in the same ballpark. What's more, 2 Picnic butter coffees, mocha latte and dirty chai, hit 300 calories, thanks in part to 5 teaspoons of added sugars from maple syrup. It's replacing your regular coffee with Picnic a surefire way to drop excess weight? Fat chance. Instead, give your waist and your heart a break. Our best bites and honorable mentions have no more than 0.5 grams of fat per serving. That's what's in a cup of 1% milk. And sugar high? Bottled and canned coffees run the gamut from unsweetened to what are essentially milkshakes. Dunkin' Donuts iced coffees, McCafe frappes, and Starbucks frappuccinos. Our honorable mentions don't top 5 grams of about a teaspoon of added sugars per serving. For labels and that don't yet disclose added sugars, we estimated a couple tricky claims. Not too sweet. A 14-ounce bottle of Stock Black, not too sweet cold brew, has 4 teaspoons of added sugars, a third of a day's limit and more than any other black coffee in our chart. Sorry, but that is too sweet. Made with real banana. Starbucks double shot coffee smoothies have more sugar than banana puree. Some of our favorites, black coffee. We liked no sugar added cold brews by Califia, Chameleon, Starbucks, Stumptown, and Pete's Berrity Black. Black coffee with sugar. Try High Brew Cold Brew Black and Bold, just 1 gram of added sugars per can, or Califia Pure Black Slightly Sweetened Cold Brew, 1 teaspoon of added sugars per cup. Coffee with milk and sugar. Our taster's top picks: High Brew Cold Brew Double Espresso, Ella Colombe Pure Black and White. Right stuff. True roots. Odds are you walk right by them every time you're at the supermarket. Two root vegetable cousins, turnips and rutabagas, don't get much attention, and that's a shame. The unsung pair may not measure up to kale or other nutrient-packed leafy greens, but when it's cold outside and you're hankering for mashed, baked, or roasted potatoes, give these guys a whirl. 1 cup of cooked white potatoes has 130 calories, largely from starchy carbs. In contrast, a cup of rutabaga has just 50 calories. A cup of turnips has a mere 35. Yet they can both stand in for taters, with a slight twist. Turnips have a distinctive tang which mellows when you cook them. Rutabagas, a cross between turnips and cabbage, have less tang and more sweetness. Both deliver a decent dose of fiber, vitamin C, and potassium. How to turn them into savory sides? Peel and chop into chunks a pound of rutabagas or turnips. Toss with 2 tablespoons of olive oil and 1/4 teaspoon of kosher salt, then roast on a sheet pan in a 400-degree oven until caramelized and tender, about 20 to 40 minutes, stirring halfway. A tip from the healthy cook? Get yourself a serrated vegetable peeler, the kind with teeth, to help you shave off the thick skin with ease. Time to turn up your oven and go rooting. Food porn. Chorizo, no. Say olé to the new day with our chorizo sunrise signature breakfast sandwich, Gush's Einstein Brothers Bagels. Take your taste buds on a trip south of the border with savory chorizo sausage, luscious avocado, zingy pepper jack cheese, cage-free eggs, and our jalapeno salsa schmear, all served on a green chili gourmet bagel. The geniuses in Einstein who created this and the other chef's eggs creations deserve a bonus. After all, it's not easy to squeeze 840 calories into a handheld sandwich. And what a sandwich! Nearly half the calories, 390, come from the white flour bagel. And it's cheese, sausage, egg, and cream cheese pile on the 20 grams, a day's worth, of saturated fat, seasoned with 1,460 milligrams of sodium. Quite the feat. Downing a chorizo sunrise is like eating 2 McDonald's sausage McMuffins or nearly 3 egg McMuffins. Then there's Einstein's 800-calorie crispy chicken and tater breakfast sandwich. An egg, fried chicken, and country potato schmear on a potato bagel with hash browns melted into place with 6 different cheeses. Because what's a white bagel without white potato? We took some southern staples and added our own charm, posted Einstein on Facebook. Charm or harm? Quick tip. Enjoy Meyer lemons, a little sweeter and less acidic than regular lemons, while they're in season. Add Meyer juice and zest to fish, lentils, salads, or chicken, or squeeze into water or tea. Dish of the month, sardines on toast. Toss 1/4 cup of chopped cherry tomatoes with the zest and juice of 1/4 lemon, a few slivers of shallot, and a pinch of salt. Fold in a can of olive oil-packed sardines. Eat on whole wheat toast or crackers. Quick studies. A snapshot of the latest research on diet, exercise, and more. A diet to keep arteries young. A Mediterranean diet may lower blood pressure and help keep arteries from stiffening as you age. Researchers randomly assigned roughly 1,130 older people in 5 European cities to consume their usual diet or to eat a Mediterranean-style diet that was higher in vegetables, fruit, nuts, beans, fish, whole grains, low-fat dairy, and olive oil, and lower in salt and added sugars than their usual diet. After 1 year, systolic blood pressure was 5.5 points lower in the people assigned to the Mediterranean diet than in those told to eat their usual diet. And among the 225 participants who were tested, those assigned to the Mediterranean diet had a decrease in one measure of artery stiffness. What to do? Whether you call it a Mediterranean or a DASH diet, eating beans, nuts, fish, whole grains, low-fat dairy, oil, olive or others, and plenty of vegetables and fruit may help protect your blood vessels. Vitamins for the brain? Thinking about popping a vitamin to help your memory or focus? Save your cash. Scientists reviewed 28 randomized clinical trials that tested vitamins or minerals, including B vitamins, antioxidants, C, E, and beta-carotene, and vitamin D on some 83,000 people. They found no good evidence that the supplements can preserve memory or prevent dementia. What to do? Ignore claims that vitamins can boost your brain health. Nuts. Nuts may boost sperm count, which dropped by half worldwide from 1973 to 2011. Researchers randomly assigned 98 healthy men aged 18 to 35 with no fertility problems to eat their usual daily diets with or without about 2 ounces, roughly half cup, of nuts. 1 ounce of walnuts, half ounce of almonds, and a half ounce of hazelnuts. The study was partly funded by the Nut Industries Trade Association. After 14 weeks, the nut eaters had greater improvements in sperm count, motility, vitality, morphology, or structure, and DNA fragmentation than the men in the no-nuts group. What to do? It's far too early to know if nuts boost fertility, but it's worth eating a serving a day to protect your heart. No happiness boost. Be up for life, says ad for Boost High Protein Drink, which is made by Nestle. What I do count on is staying happy and healthy, declares the vibrant older woman. But an experimental boost-like supplement didn't boost mood or curb symptoms of depression in a study partly funded by Nestle. Researchers randomly assigned 149 older people with low vitamin D levels to consume a daily 30-calorie placebo drink or a 150-calorie drink with 20 grams of protein, 800 IU of vitamin D, and a mix of other vitamins and minerals. All the volunteers also participated in an exercise program 2 to 3 times a week. After 6 months, both groups scored better on scales of depression and emotional well-being than they did when they entered the study, but the supplement drinkers didn't improve more than the placebo drinkers. What to do? Stay active and ignore ads suggesting that you need Boost, Ensure, or similar drinks to stay healthy and happy. That's all the time we have for Nutrition News. Until next time, I'm Jackie Roble for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This program is readily available as a podcast after the initial broadcast at our website, trianglereadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. 919-832-5138. Thanks for listening, and here's to your health.